another day, another dollar makes you wonder where your money went. You can scream and you can holler, it really doesn't matter, 'cause it all gets spent.
Hi, this is Jack Spirko with another edition of the Survival Podcast. One man's view of the changing world, the changing economy, and the changing reality that we have in front of us today, and what we can do to better live our lives, whether times get tough or even if they don't. This is another one of my morning podcasts. I really enjoy the mornings more than the afternoons in the summertime. It's a beautiful 83-degree morning. I'm sure it'll be a miserable 103-degree day. So it's nice to be in a cheerful mood when I do these things. Because sometimes we talk about some pretty depressing stuff, folks. I mean, you look at the election and you go, well, that's not really anything to get excited over. And I think if you're going to vote for Obama or you're going to vote for McCain right now, if you're on either side of that equation, I'm not going to try to sway opinions or sway votes with this show. That's not what this is about. It's about making people think and back up whatever you do say you're going to do or do say you're going to believe. You know, back up the why behind it. Don't just let the TV tell you what to do. But I think right now, if you look critically at either candidate, I mean the one you've chosen to support, if you've chosen to support one, you should have some concerns. I mean, if you're a conservative Republican, believes in solid American principles and creating a secure nation. You look over at John McCain, and the guy's got some positive attributes, but you look at his other side, and you go, yeah, this is the guy that brought the border bill in front of us, and now he's going to secure the border, and so he said he's going to do that, but he's really going to do that, and you just look at the things, and you go, you know, this guy has a track record that would probably make him a pretty solid centrist Democratic nominee. And I hate saying that about the guy that's leading the Republican Party today, but I think if John McCain ran as a Democrat, he may have been able to pull it off over on the other side earlier. And that just concerns you if that's your ideology. The other side with Obama, even if you're a very liberal-minded Democrat, you got to look at some of the things this guy wants to do and just go, man, how's he going to pay for all this? And what's he actually going to do? Because the guy's like, you know, I believe in change, and I think we should change, and the change is coming with change. But how, what, the mechanics are just not there. They're absent. And the few things he does say about what he actually wants to do, we look at and go, okay, where are you going to get the money from? You know, that's one of the great, great lines that Bush Jr. pointed out when he was in a debate with John Kerry. And he said, hey, look, this guy wants to spend X billions of dollars. He says he wants to do it by raising taxes for the rich. That's wise billions of dollars. There's still a difference of billions and billions of dollars. Where do you think he's going to get it from? He wants to spend the money, he's got to get it from somewhere. And it's dissatisfied Sam with Bush himself right now. You know, that made a lot of sense. So, you know, there's a lot of depression mentality out there right now, because what do we have to be excited about? What do we have to believe in? So, you know, podcasting in the morning with the sunshine is helpful when you're having conversations like this. Just stay positive, because one thing I do believe, this is the greatest nation on the planet. I believe that. We have done things in the last 200 years that have led the world. My concern is that we're rapidly losing that place. And I do not believe that America has been at the forefront of innovation, at the forefront of technology, at the forefront of freedom, because we have a lot of money. I don't believe we've been there because we have a lot of wealth. I don't believe we've been there because we have a big, beautiful flag. I believe we've been there because we've had freedom. We've had more freedom until recently than any nation that has ever been created. And our freedoms have been eroded in the last 50 years in massive ways. And the sad thing is that we had a group of people in this country that 50 years ago and back didn't have their freedom. And sometimes I just wonder if we had never embraced slavery in this nation, if we had had the liberty in this nation that we had for most of us, for all of us, from 1776 to 1955, I wonder if this nation would be better for it and how it would be different. And I think it just might be. That's just something to think about. Because during that time, we had our greatest freedoms, and we oppressed a group of society, a part of our society, in a way that was completely inconsistent with what we were doing. Today, everybody can go to the same places, everybody can eat in the same place, and by and large, we all get along pretty well. It's despite the misdirection of class warfare that's thrown upon us to keep us divided politically and make us play games and stay idealized in our voting and to keep different blocks in power. We all get along pretty well. We don't really have a lot of the problems. I think even the media makes out. I think it's more than just race. It's natural origin. It's between the sexes. It's based on sexuality. I think most people get along with most people in the United States today, and that's great. The problem is now that we've corrected ourselves, our nation has now taken away our liberties. And when I say taking away our liberties, the taxation alone, folks, is a reduction in your liberty. I don't remember the exact day of Tax Freedom Day this year. I believe it was April 18th. It was a few days after Tax Day. Right, Tax Freedom Day, for those that don't know, is the day that you stop working for the government. It may be May by now. I'm not sure. When I get into the office and I go to put this, do a little bit of editing and put the music on the front and back of this, I will look Tax Freedom 2008 up and I will put it in the post at thesurvivalpodcast.com. So you can go there and see if my memory's right with this April 18th day. Let's just say it is April 18th. You know, that's basically 4 months that we work for the government. So I want to explain a scenario to you that people would never stand for. And after I explain to you that scenario, I want you to realize that we have that scenario now. It's just presented to us in a different way. Scenario number one. On January 1st, your government requires that you report for duty. You report for duty to a work camp. In that work camp, you do whatever your government asks you to do for no pay. On April 18th, you're released from that duty station. Now, during this time that you report for duty, you sleep in your own bed, you go to your own house, you have your own free time. This is not like prison. It's just from January 1 through April 18th, you're in service to your country and you work for free. Okay? From April 19th through December 31st, you then work for yourself and you pay no tax on anything. Everything is yours that you make. You keep all that you want. Now, the smart people out there would actually go, that sounds kind of preferable to what we actually have now. Because the beauty of that would be, during the time that I can keep whatever I want, I can work my brains out. But would the American people stand for that? We couldn't all be out of the general population at the same time. So let's say, you know, like one group starts in January, the next group starts in February, and it rotates throughout the year. But basically, everybody in the United States is required to work for the government completely for free and receive no paycheck for 4 months. And during that 4 month period, you are their property. All right? That would never work. There would be riots in the streets. People would be screaming bloody murder. Folks, it's no different. Like I said already, it's actually worse. Because when you give up 4 months of your income, and people don't really understand how much you're paying in property tax, taxes as a whole. When you look at your tax burden, you can't just say, well, my federal income tax rate, after all my deductions and my accountant did his voodoo and all, was 15%. My effective tax rate was 15%. You know, how much of your deductions were created by paying other taxes? Motor fuels tax, property tax, okay? Insurances that have taxes built into them, all right? So when you look at how much you pay, when you add up sales tax, property tax, all these things, it's 4 months. You work for the government for 4 months, all right? I mean, and it may be five. Like I said, I'm going to put the right Tax Freedom Day out there, but no matter what period of time it is, realize that they're taking your liberty to preserve and use and leverage your own efforts during that time. People say, what's the alternative? Could we really live in a society without any taxation whatsoever? Well, I do believe we can live in a society where we're not taxing people's property. We're not punishing you for owning property. I do believe in a society where we could not tax income. All right? That we don't need to be taxing income. Taxing income is putting a burden on success. The more successful you are, the more I'll take away from you. So yeah, we could get away from that too. We could go to a system where the only taxes we have are quite limited, and their sales taxes. Because the sales tax would then allow us to actually make a decision of whether we wanted to pay the tax or not. Because we should not tax, let's say, goods sold between private individuals and goods that have already been taxed once. So let's say manufacturer A builds a car, it gets sold, there's a tax put on it for sale, and then after that, it's not taxed again. So if Joe goes out and sells it to Tom as a used car 5 years later, Tom doesn't pay tax on it a second time. So that's, you know, a scenario that we could get into where we're no longer paying taxes over and over and over again on the same money. Now, how do you do that? Well, the federal government has to stop being a nanny state. We have to get rid of all these welfare programs, and honestly, we have to get rid of Social Security. And people say, oh my God, you can't get rid of Social Security. Well, we have to, because it's going to go broke. We all know that. There's $53 trillion of unfunded obligations in Social Security right now. The only solution is for the Fed to print money. That's what they'll do. People will get a Social Security check and just won't buy anything. It'll be completely worthless. You'll be able to do more with the paper that the check comes on than you will with the dollar figure behind it if we get into a point where the Fed dumps $50 trillion into the economy over the next 50 years, which right now looks like they're going to face our pattern and the growth of our M3 money supply that they're going to do. So, I mean, I just wanted to kind of put you in a frame of reference today that this freedom thing that we talk about in America, this way forward in America that we keep talking about, all this patriotism that's in the hearts of our people still, the pride that's in the hearts of our people still, what we don't realize is much of what that pride is based on has been eroded and lost. And it's time for our people out there to get tired of being in this situation and say to our government, no. Our government has become like a spoiled little child that simply takes cookies from the cookie jar every time it wants another cookie. And when the cookies run out, the American people don't just go down to the store and get some cookies. We have to bake some freaking cookies and put them in there so this spoiled little brat can take more of it. And more of it, and more of it. They spend it on things we don't want. We give them cookies, and they go out, and they give us eggplant. And if you like eggplant, that you change that to Brussels sprouts, or raw onions, or a crap sandwich. Whatever you don't like to eat. See, I don't like eggplant. And I feel like my government takes away my cookies, which I dearly love, and then they force feed me eggplant. And every time that they don't have enough cookies, they just throw a tantrum and cry, and they force me to give them more. And I think it's time we smack that hand, and we say no more cookies. All right? Go do some exercising. And start doing what the Constitution says that you're supposed to do. We need to look at everything our government's doing and go, is that in the Constitution? Is that power granted to the federal government in the Constitution of the United States? And if the answer is no, get rid of it. Does the Constitution say that that's the responsibility of the federal government? No. Get rid of it. Kill it off. Just, it's got to go. See, our founders were brilliant. They understood that a giant federal government, even with a much smaller nation at the time, would become a behemoth that can't be controlled, that individual rights and individual liberties would eventually be eroded and lost. So when they put together the Constitution, it's a document that everybody could finally eventually agree upon. It was a lot of work. It wasn't like these guys locked themselves up for 48 hours and churned out the Constitution. There was a lot of effort, thought, and negotiations that went on with the formation of the U.S. Constitution, which is the foundation of our federal government. It was designed to make the federal government and its powers inherently limited. Anybody that's read the Bill of Rights or with an open mind would quickly come to understand the Bill of Rights. And I'm talking the first 10 amendments, not the additional amendments that in many ways granted more power to the government, at least some of them did, but the first 10 amendments give the government no power. Okay? They restrict the power of government. I think I've talked about this before, but I want you to understand the Bill of Rights does not give you rights. Okay? My friend up in Canada who says, in Canada we don't have a right to keep and bear arms, and I don't think we should, right? Well, he's right. In a way, because in Canada they don't have that protection. But he's wrong in another way, because our nation was set up to be a shining light. And part of the shining light was, we're not going to go make another nation choose to follow our way. Fortunately, we've lost that too, but let that go for now. We're not going to go out and tell other nations how to run their countries, but we will be an example and we will make a statement. The Bill of Rights does not apply only to Americans, folks. When our founders wrote it, and when they signed it, and when they put it into action, it was understood inherently by those great men that it applied to humans across the world. So our Constitution says that my socialist buddy up in Canada has the right to own a gun, to defend himself and his property and his family, and to free his nation with it should that become necessary. That is how revolutionary, rebellious, and dangerous a document the United States Constitution is. It is a dangerous document, and that's a good thing. Understand, the people that wrote it had just overthrown the most powerful government in the world. That government considered them traitors, and had they lost the war, they would have been hung. That is who founded our country. Revolutionaries that overthrew a government because they taxed them without allowing them fair representation. And let me ask you today, folks, do you have fair representation? This taxation without representation meant something when it was said in the colonies. Today we're taught that in school, and we're taught that in a way to pacify us that says, oh, well, see, that's why, see, today you have representation. You have, here's our three-plank government, you know, here's our executive, legislative, and judicial branches. This is how it works, and you elect the executive, and you elect the legislative, and then the judicial oversees them, and they make it sound so wonderful, because it is wonderful if you actually follow it. But we have a two-party system. We have gerrymandered districts where if a guy's a Democrat in one district or a Republican in the other, he can stay in office for two or three decades, even if he's a philanderer and a guy that ends up in trouble with the government and the FBI himself. They stay in office because the people in that district are Democrat. They've been misguided by class warfare again. And listen to the podcast on class warfare if you haven't. All right? It'll explain how they do this stuff. But basically, that guy over there in the Democratic district has been convinced that all the Republicans are a bunch of crazy freaking gun nuts that are running around that don't care about old people, that don't care about poor people. All they do is watch the stock market rolling money every night. And the guy over in the Republican side has been convinced that everybody on that Democratic side, it wants to break in his house, steal his gun right now, seize his assets, redistribute them to the poor in a Robin Hood mentality, and that's what those people think. So they stay entrenched, and this has been rammed down our throats. And you think you got a choice? Really? If I told you right now you could make any person in the world president of the United States, would you pick between John McCain and Barack Obama? Really? Would you? I think a lot of people would. But I think a ton of people wouldn't. I think more people would not. I think if we got everybody in the United States and had them walk through a room and said, right now, tell us who do you think would make the best president of the United States with no regard to who's been nominated, that neither one of those two idiots would be up there at the end of the day if we took the top two. They just wouldn't. But our system has been set up where it can never work out that way. The person with the money and the name will always be at the top in government. Thank God that hasn't happened in corporate America yet. Right now, I don't want you to get depressed. If you are poor, living hand to mouth, packing boxes in a warehouse, you are exactly where I was in 1993. Okay? And I'm a successful entrepreneur that owns multiple companies today. I live a very good life. And I have built a tremendous amount of wealth for me because this nation has allowed me to do so. My fear is that your government is making that more difficult, getting in the way of that. Every time the government says they want to control something in the private sector, what they're doing is they're governmentalizing the individual in the economy. And the more they do that, the less opportunity there are for people to do what I have done in a very short period of time. And this is the only nation I believe in the world where I could have done what I've done. But today, that's changing. Today, if you go to the former Soviet Republic of Georgia, not the state of Georgia, the state of Georgia that was part of the Soviet Union, you will pay less tax and have an easier time setting up, developing, and growing a business in Georgia than the United States of America. And that bothers me, folks, and it should bother you too. So what's the solution? Right now, we don't have much of a solution. But I'll tell you this. when you go to vote this fall, know everybody that's going to be on that ballot before you get there. You're going to get there, there's going to be president, and maybe you know the name of a senator or a congressman that's running, and there's going to be a whole bunch of people on that ballot you never heard of before. Get a copy of the ballot in advance. Investigate these people. You can make the biggest difference at the local level. I'm not going to tell you how to vote. What I'm going to tell you is know what these people stand for. Know what these people have done against what they have stood for. And they said one thing and done another. And get rid of people that suck. Vote against them. The congressional approval rate right now is 9%. If your approval rate at your job was 9%, you would be fired. All of these clowns would be fired. If I had my way, I wouldn't care if I'm a guy on the other side, a Republican, Democrat, Independent, Libertarian, Constitutionalist, or Green Party. If you have an I next to your name for incumbent, I would vote against you. And I wish my fellow Americans would do the same. We need to turn this government over. You have a 9% approval rating, you get fired. The president's approval rating is like 19%. He's actually doing better than the Congress. And people are mad about him every day, and the media's attacking him every day. And you know what? I'm not in the 19% that approves of the way he's doing his job. So I ain't sticking up for him. Don't see it that way. What I'm telling you folks is we've got to take our nation back. So today was kind of a kick in the butt. I want you to start thinking about what you believe and why you believe it. And I know a lot of my audience is going, preach on, man, because I already feel that way. But you need to talk to other people about that. You need to believe in yourself and what you know enough to just say, don't go out telling people Barack Obama's wrong or John McCain's wrong. Leave that crap alone. Especially if you're doing it. You know what? The minute that you bore me with telling me how bad John McCain is as soon as you start comparing him to Barack Obama. And the minute you bore me with bashing Obama is as soon as you start comparing him to McCain. As soon as you're thinking he's evil because he's better, I'm done with you. And most people are getting that way in society today. They don't want to hear how bad the other guy is. They just want to hear the mechanics, the truth, and the reality behind the scenes. You want to get people's attention. Tell them why both of these guys suck. Tell them why we need to change what we're doing here. Tell them why we're going to have to eat it and pick one of these two guys. And you leave it up to them. But make damn sure that when they pull the lever, push the button, poke the hole, or touch the screen, that they know why they're doing what they're doing. Just ask people to think. That's what I'm asking you to do. So, believe it or not, today's podcast was going to be about how to choose a good financial advisor and the disadvantages that you're at when you have a couple $100,000 or even $500,000 or less or nothing compared to people who are really wealthy because you don't get the same kind of financial advisor. I'm going to do that podcast tomorrow now because I don't know what happened, but this just came to me and I just couldn't stop talking about it. I was going to do a little bit about the erosion of liberty and go into that, but I couldn't do it. So I'm going to sign off now. I hope this has made you think. I hope it's made you a little bit angry. And I want you to think about, again, the fact that you work for our government for almost half a year now. And I want you to think about what it would be like for people if during that period of time they actually had to give 100% of their paycheck away. And then they got to keep it for the rest of the year. Would they stand for that? And if they wouldn't stand for that, we shouldn't stand for the way things are going right now, especially when these clowns are not getting the job done. The economy is in the toilet. And you can't just blame the president for the economy, but you can blame the government as a whole. You can blame the Federal Reserve, and you can blame the nonsense that they're allowed to get away with on our government. All right? You can blame them all because they're all involved. So let's try to make a difference. And I don't care if it means you're replacing one guy. I don't care if you're replacing your dog catcher. Get involved somewhere. Make a difference. Let's take our nation back. Thank you, and have a great day.
You can scream and you can holler. It really doesn't matter. All gets spent.